Anyhow, we're in Matthew 4, 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, some of you have been here, haven't you? Who's been by the Sea of Galilee in here? A few of you. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your timeless truth. Thank you for your spirit that speaks to our hearts exactly what we need. God, we thank you for this time we get to hear from your word. May we hear from you and no one else. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, how many in here I'm sure there's plenty, have gotten a phone call and you picked up the phone and you're like, oh man, this was a mistake. You know, back in the time when you actually picked up the phone to actually answer it, and you actually hung it up on the wall or something. So, back whether it was an older phone or a cell phone now, you had that call where you're like, man, you know, telemarketer or whatever, maybe a person you didn't want to talk to. You're like, man, I could have used my time for pulling weeds under the deck or something, or painting the bottom of the deck even, you know. But you had it, you're just like, man, that call was just a waste of time. Man, I could have been doing something else. Well, today we want to look at a call that is certainly worth the time and worth our efforts. A call that, as we respond to it, it has eternal ramifications in our life and in the lives of others. And maybe like Neo, right? He had that. Who's seen Matrix? How many Matrix people we out in here that have seen Matrix? Okay, we got a few at least. So, you know, Neo, when he answered the phone call, that changed everything, right? And so you had that. This is a call we speak of today that will change everything depending on how we respond to it. And I don't think you need to be a rocket surgeon to know what we're talking about here. It's a call of Jesus calling us to be disciples. Now, I've spoken before about listening, being able to hear the voice of God. Today more about being in a position, you know, to hear and what to do when we respond to that voice. Now let's say if a plain unchurched person, you know, someone never been exposed to church life, just happened upon the gospel. Maybe they were in a hospital or something. They fell upon a Gideon's Bible and just opened it up. And let's say they started reading it, and they wouldn't take too long to find out that God is someone who speaks. He's someone that calls for people to follow him. And his plan is unlimited. Unlimited calls, sacred text, right? He's always speaking. So this plain person, never been exposed to the Bible, maybe read it for the first time, hadn't had any preconceived notion, they find out that God is one who speaks, right? Jesus is what? He is the what made flesh? The Word made flesh. He speaks, and we are to respond. And how we respond could have eternal ramifications, like we said. He summons us to a much higher calling, a calling that is surely more meaningful, to a more meaningful life as he is guiding it and managing it. If we look, look back in the Old Testament, we see Abraham, right? Abraham got called by God, and what did he do? He went westward to a place he did not know. Moses, he got called out of the wilderness to go back into Egypt and to liberate God's people. Peter, as we read, he got called by God, and he left his fishing boat and began to become a fisher of men. God called the Apostle Paul, who walked away from killing Christians, trying to kill Christians, to trying to actually make more and being willing to die himself as a believer. And he called Matthew, the writer of this book, Matthew, out of what kind of occupation did he have? Tax collector. One of the most hated people of that time. And a lot of them were corrupt and would try to pocket money for themselves and increase your taxes so they can get paid more. So he called Matthew out of the tax collector booth, from collecting taxes to collecting disciples. God is one who called. God is one who calls now and is one who will continue to call, and we must follow, whether it's for the first time or to continue walking the walk of faith. Just imagine if you got a phone call that was actually a meaningful one that you're glad you got. Let's say the president called you. You know, would you have time for this? You know, would you answer that call? You know, the president saying, I want to have a special meeting, take you to lunch maybe, and give you a special assignment to serve your country. The president called. Now, would you take that call? Whether you like, I know some people, maybe someone here don't like the president. Whether you like him or not, would you still take that call? Maybe in the past, other presidents, would you have taken the call? Your favorite president you've ever had, would you take the call? Yes, you would take the call. Now, this is God. God calls out to all. He's the one who breathed the life into every person, whether a leader, a country, or not. He breathed the breath of life into them. This is the creator of heaven and earth, and he calls out. He's calling out to you. He's calling out to me. He calls out to us, and we ought to respond. And following him, we see that it might not be easy, but it surely, surely is good. One of my favorite pastors that I listen to, Pastor Rockwell Dillaman out of Pittsburgh, he says, you know, as believers, and we leave our lifestyle of sin, you know, we're not citizens of the world trying to make it to heaven. We are citizens of heaven trying to make it through this world. See, we are called out of the darkness and into the light, and sometimes we might get intimidated by the darkness. But as John says, right, the darkness could not overcome the light. We are to shine heaven's light in a dark world as we are making our way through this world. See, a lot of times I think we despair because things get darker and darker, which even though the Bible foretold all that, as in the last times, the things are going to be, people are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. It's going to be terrible, perilous times, and things are going to get dark. And I think we can kind of despair because there's a lot of darkness and a lot of people turning away from God, and our country becoming less Christian. And we could despair, you know, thinking, oh man, I don't, you know, you want to give up because you see so much darkness around. But we should, as Christians, we are not to despair because of greater darkness. We should disperse and go out and shine God's light. We aren't to hide our light under a bushel, are we? We're supposed to go out and shine that light for people that need to see, people that are blind morally in a dark world. Imagine, I mean, the darker a place gets, the more easily you can see the light, right? I mean, let's say you're at 4th of July, like, you don't want to watch fireworks in the middle of the day, do you? You can barely see them. And it's at night where you can see that light of the fireworks even greater. So we as believers, we are the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Go out and shine your light. So we shouldn't despair because of the darkness, but disperse. Because get on God's mission and go out and disperse from church. As we come in here every Sunday, we don't get dismissed from church. We don't get dismissed from following Jesus. We get dispersed. We come here, we get filled up, we get encouraged to go out and to share the good news with those that need it, those that are still in the darkness. Well, Jesus doesn't say to do it if he doesn't do it himself, right? He always leads us. When he leads us somewhere, he doesn't just say go, he does it himself. And we see that Jesus went to the darkness, not just by coming to the world, but a specific place he came to do ministry. We see it was a dark place. We know he was Jesus of Nazareth, right? But as Isaiah prophesied, he says he was going to be a great light, that the world will see a great light, and specifically at a place in Galilee, right? Capernaum. That's where Jesus' HQ was. His headquarters for ministry was in Capernaum. And this was a dark place in the world. Strategically, it was a strategic place in a way. And it says, you know, in Judea, this is a saying they had, Judea is on the way to nowhere, and Galilee is on the way to everywhere. So you had tons of people coming through Galilee. Tons of people that way. I mean, Jesus had a strategic spot that they can take out, hear the good news, and go out from there. But also that brought a lot of worldly thinking, a lot of crime, and it was a lot of darkness in that place. And Jesus, that's where he had his headquarters. So he wasn't afraid to go into the darkness and shine light. He ran to the darkness, and we ought to do the same. And we can do the same as God equips us. You know, we don't attack. The gates of hell don't attack us, right? Who's ever thought of gates? The gates of hell that can move. You know, gates don't move. Have you ever seen gates that walked before? No, I haven't. But Jesus, Peter said we are to attack the gates of hell, right? Remember the conversation Peter and Jesus had, attack? The gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. Well, gates, we are to be going out to the gates, facing the gates, and going out to the darkness and seeking and saving the lost, sharing the good news of Jesus that has changed our life. Jesus came, as you know, he came and got his hands dirty so that others can become clean. Yesterday, a few of us were in here, right, pulling weeds, getting dirty, so that the service, you know, we have our outdoor service coming up so others can hear the good news. That's what it's all about, so others become clean. I got our hands a little dirty. I wasn't there too long. I was there for maybe 45 minutes, and I got the call that, you know, it's time to preach a sermon Saturday, so I guess it was okay. You know, I let Bridget take care of the rest there. But we had a good time getting our hands dirty together. But it was so others people can, their souls can get clean. Those can hear, other people can come and hear the good news for the first time. So like I said, we ought not to be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by the darkness, but actually be intimate with it. Be close to it, not so that we are corrupted, we get corrupted by it, but so that we make the devil a little fidgety. We want to be making him a little, causing him a little trouble, make him a little fidgety. We would hope that in our church here, that there'll be issues. We want issues in our church. If there are no issues, no problems in our church, right? That means the devil's not at work trying to stop things. That means we're not a threat to the kingdom. When we studied Revelation, you remember the dead church? You know, the dead church, there was no problems in it because they weren't a threat. No threat to the enemy. See, we want to be a threat to the enemy, and you know, next time we see issues in our church, which hopefully there are, you know, and we tackle them the right way, of course, but that just shows us the devil's trying to work because he wants to stop us from doing the good work that God has for us. But I remember, as we do go through the darkness, as we go through the valley of darkness, right? God promised he'll be with us. He'll be with us as we go through it. Well, moving on to the calling of the four fishermen, which includes three of the inner circle. Who are they? Peter, James, and John. Or you could say John, James, and Peter, however you want to say it. But I think Scripture has it, Peter, James, and John. So they're out fishing, right, of course. And Jesus says, hey, you cast your nets for people. You follow me, I'm gonna make you not just fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And actually, when they left that lifestyle, they were leaving their living. I mean, that, like James and John, sons of Zebedee, and they were fishing with their father Zebedee, like we read. Probably their father probably owned the business, and they actually had to leave their father's business. Just like they left it and followed Jesus in faith. But it's okay because, you know, those that trust in him, right, will never what? Those that trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. He'll take care of us. But the question I have for you is, does Jesus call everyone to be a fisher of men? He to directly fish for people. So you might be discouraged, thinking, oh, I'm not very good at speaking to people. sharing my faith with others, or being what you might call an evangelist, having a gift. Like, I see other people that have it's just like effortless. They can talk to anybody about Jesus. It's like, I just don't have that. Don't be discouraged if you don't have a special gift, because really, 7 out of the 12 disciples were fishermen. And it was the fishermen that Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You know, the others, we got like Matthew, right? Matthew was a tax collector, and he just said, follow me. I just share that, like Zacchaeus as well. You know, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and Jesus said, I'm coming to your house tonight, right? And we almost saw immediate conversion in Zacchaeus, because he said, I'm going to give half what I have to the poor, and I'm gonna go out and take 4 times what I've stole from others and give to them. We saw a conversion of the heart right there. But Jesus didn't say, come, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, we all should be a part of the mission of Jesus to seek and save the lost. But I just don't want anybody to get discouraged thinking, well, I don't have that gift of just going up to anybody and sharing my faith. But you can edify the church. Indirectly, you can be helping edify the church and encourage those that do have that special gift. Now, I'm not saying when you have the opportunity, don't take it. If you have the opportunity with your family and friends, take it to share the gospel, and as the Spirit gives you ability to share. But I just want others to say, don't just give up on everything, you know, and think you're not.